Good morning, everybody. Before we have our special guests come up here, I need to make an announcement. We have a newly married couple in the church. Jill and Sam, congratulations. You know, here at New Hope Christian Center, our mission is to make disciples. It's one of the last things that Jesus told his disciples. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them and commanding them to do everything, to obey everything I've commanded you. And the organization that we have with us here today is a testament to that. They are a testament that God don't make junk. And hope that we have is in him. And so I am pleased to introduce to you today Terrence from Teen Challenge. Are you going to roll the... we're going to roll the video.
Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. We serve a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I don't know, the Lord just put this on my heart. I want to open up this time with reading this portion of scripture. Pastor just said that, you know, God doesn't make junk. So I want to reaffirm that word with Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." I don't know where you're at today in your life, but maybe you're going through a hard time right now. But the enemy might be trying to tell you that you're a failure, that you're worthless, that you're not going to do anything with your life. But I want to encourage you today that the enemy intended it for you to harm you, but God intended it all for good. And he's going to use your story, like you're going to hear the story of some of these men today, to reach other people, to lead other people to Jesus, to inspire other people, to encourage other people. So no matter your situation, know that right now, what I'm going through, God intended it for good. God's going to change it all up for me. I might have a loved one that doesn't know Jesus, but God's going to reach them. I might have some finances that are in order, but God's going to take care of that. Amen? All right. My name is Terrence Nelson. I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator at Adult and Teen Challenge. Raise your hand if you have heard of Adult and Teen Challenge. Raise your hand if the only reason why you know about Teen Challenge is because of our thrift store. Hey, I got a couple of you. So we are so much more than a thrift store. Adult and Teen Challenge started back in 1958 by a pastor named David Wilkerson. He got prompted by the Holy Spirit to move his family to New York to intervene in an important court case between seven men who were on trial for murder, young men, teenagers who were on trial for murder. And since then, our centers have grown to over 250 centers nationwide and over 1,000 worldwide. In the Pacific Northwest, we have 11 centers for men 18 and over, women 18 and over, women with children who want to get help that don't want to leave their children behind. And we just recently opened an adolescent girls center in Boise. We exist to put hope within reach of every addict and their families. And some people might say, but what does that actually mean? What that means is when two stories come together and they collide, hope explodes. Follow me for a second. When Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and rose with power over death, hell, and the grave, and when his story, the greatest story of all history, was introduced to my story, hope exploded. Let me take you back. Everybody close your eyes for a second. Think about the time when you first said yes to Jesus. Think about where you were. Now think about where you are now since you said yes to Jesus. That's hope exploding right there. And that's what we're all about. Go ahead and open your eyes. I'd like to invite a friend up here. Jeff, come on up. I'd like to invite my friend Jeff up here just to give you a little bit of a great picture. Yep, give him a round of applause. I'd like Jeff to share with you a little bit just what the day in the life looks like at Adult and Teen Challenge. We are a one-year Christ-centered, Jesus-centered, faith-based recovery and discipleship program. I love that. I love that, Pastor. It's about discipleship. It's not just getting people saved, but it's teaching them how to be mature in the Lord and walk in the Lord. So we are a one-year Christ-centered, faith-based recovery and discipleship program for men and women struggling with drugs and alcohol and other life-controlling issues. So I'd like to give you a glimpse into what a day in the life looks like and also for Jeff to share a little bit of his story. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi. Our day starts at 6 a.m., not 6:01. 6 a.m., you're shaved, your bed's made, and you're in breakfast ready to go. 6:30, we go to class for an hour. We learn about the Bible, listen to our teacher. The day starts off, we go to work. We all work till 5 o'clock every night. We work at three different places. I work personally at DAA. We have guys at Cyrus O'Leary's and the thrift store. Get back at 5, we have dinner at 6. Chapel till 7, or chapel at 7 until 8. And the day is over, get to bed, get up and do it again. My story is it's kind of strange. I had a stroke on the roof on August 15th of 2005. I had a brain hemorrhage. I had a blood vessel in the back of my head pop while I was on the roof working. Just so happens an ambulance is right around the corner. Just so happens my wife was right behind it somewhere right there. Anyway, I woke up in the hospital in intensive care. They told me that 85% of the people get what I get die, the other 15% are vegetables. Okay, well, that's pretty easy to figure. It's 100%. So basically, I lived with a headache every single day for the rest of the next 10 years. I'd wake up with a headache. As the day went along, it got worse and worse to the point where I was drinking and taking pills to kill the headache. About 2 or 3 years ago, I started doing methamphetamine. Horrible decision on my part. I turned my back on God because I thought personally that he'd let me go. You know, I mean, if he's going to leave me here alive on this earth with this pain and the headaches, it's like, why? You know, it didn't make any sense. And, yeah, it was difficult. It's still, thank you, Lord. So anyway, January 7th of last year, I was coming back. My wife and I were coming back from Seattle. We stopped at Northern Quest to watch a Seahawks game. I ordered a couple drinks. My arms went numb. I had a heart attack and died. Just flat out died. So, obviously now, when I came out of the hospital here at Sacred Heart, when I came out of intensive care, I figured out that God's got me here for something important. And at that point, I still really hadn't put together, I hadn't got it together yet. I was still doing methamphetamine. I was hooked on it pretty good. My wife listened to one of her friends and figured out that I was doing meth. She didn't know anything about it. I hid it for almost 3 years. She figured it out. My mentor, Monty Christensen, said, "Jeff, you need to go do Adult and Teen Challenge." And I'm like, "Teen Challenge? Really?" I agreed to it, obviously. So I came here. The Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon me almost immediately and told me flat out that I was going to go to Montana and start a teen challenge. In 10 days, I'm finished with this program. I am going to start on that on that journey. I can tell you that the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. And if you don't listen to him, I can tell you you'll regret it. He talks to me. I listen to him. When I don't, I get in trouble. That's why I'm doing a year and 3 weeks in this one-year program. Long story short, Teen Challenge is a great place. The men here, the students, the staff, I've been blessed. I know I am. There's only one teen challenge in the state of Montana. It's a women's in Missoula. when I get down here, the Lord's put it on my heart, I'm going to go start one. Amen. There's no teen challenge anywhere in the state of Montana for men. And I'm living testimony that they need it. Amen. And that's it.
Hey, let's give Jeff a round of applause. Thank you, Jeff. Isn't that exciting? To be able to experience and to hear someone's testimony about dead person coming to life. Look, that's what Jesus is all about. He's about bringing us into life. See, there's so many of us, man, we've been walking in darkness. We've been walking in fear. We've been walking in pain, shame, guilt, addiction, whatever it is. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is in the house. And you don't have to leave out of here the same way you came in here today. Because, look, we're going to look at a portion of Scripture here in a little bit. But whenever Jesus, if you look through the Bible, whenever Jesus was present, whenever he was in the house, somebody's life was getting changed. From the moment when he was a baby born, when Jesus showed up, people's lives were getting changed. And Jesus is in, his mission is to help give people life and life abundantly. Amen? Sorry, I get excited. You can testify with me if you like to, okay? Yes! Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. So at Adult Teen Challenge, our guys are learning biblical studies like love and accepting myself, growing through failure. How do I know if I'm a Christian? Successful Christian living. Character qualities like loyalty. What does it mean to be courageous? What does it mean to have integrity? These are all classes that we should be taking throughout life to just remain sharp on. We're teaching guys how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to memorize the Bible. We start every meal off with, does anybody have a verse that they'd like to share? I'm like, that's good. That is learning how to walk this out so that when I go out of Adult Teen Challenge, I'm not just saved, but I'm actually being a successful Christian, which means I'm out there reaching people, helping them to learn how to love Jesus, how to know Jesus, and it starts with my family. We're teaching these men how to be men that go back home to be the fathers and the husbands that they are called to be, and that is exciting. Amen. Amen. So as you heard, we have vocational training where our guys are at different facilities, relearning work ethic and conflict resolution. So if you've been to our thrift store, they'll get mad at me if I don't plug them real quick. So on Sprague University, on the corner of Sprague University, our TC Resale Donation Center, 100% of those proceeds are coming back to our adult and teen challenge programs in the Pacific Northwest. And our men are there, they're relearning that work ethic and that conflict resolution and actually having fun impacting the community. And so we also like to have fun. This last Friday, our guys were at the drag races, you know, just enjoying fun. We love to look, you know, being a Christian is not boring. If you're a Christian and you're saying this life is boring, you're not doing it right. I had to say that, okay? If you study the life of Jesus, his life was not boring. Like there was woo, yeah, this is awesome. Walk on water, cool. Cast demons out of people, cool. Serve the hungry, cool. You know, if you're a Christian, you don't have, being a Christian is not boring. Being clean and sober, you can have fun. We want to show these guys that you can do that, whether it's rock climbing, going to a baseball game, or serving the community and volunteering. We want to show guys that, look, man, you can have fun with Jesus. Amen? We exist to put hope within reach of every addict and their families. And as we know, addiction is a ramping epidemic in our nation, in our state, and in our city. We're plagued by it on our television screens every day, seeing it here, seeing it there. Look, each and every person in this room today has been affected directly or indirectly by addiction in some way, shape, or form. Some of us a little bit more closer to home. I want to just read you a couple statistics real quick. By the North Point, Washington statistics, they said that in 2015, a couple years ago, alcohol and drugs made up 13% of the annual death toll in our state. You know, at first when you look at that, you're like, well, 13%, at least it's not like 80 or 90%. But even 13%, when you do the math, it breaks down to 7,087 people in 1 year. That, even one is too many. And as long as there's people out there that are struggling with addiction, that are struggling with life-controlling issues, and that are living a life of darkness and hopelessness, we're out there. We each are out there as members of, as bodies of Christ, as well as Adult and Teen Challenge. We need to be out there reaching these lost people. It's an epidemic. It's so bad that they're saying that 45 to 64-year-olds, they have the highest percentage for opioid overdoses. And see, it's easy to say that the youth, man, they're all involved in this hard stuff. They're involved in all these things. But the truth is that addiction does not discriminate. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter how old you are. Addiction doesn't discriminate. But the truth is, we know the solution. There's an epidemic on the rise, but we believe and we know the solution, and the solution is Jesus. And we, as those who believe in Jesus, we are called to enable the solution. Amen? Amen. Can I get my friends Cody, Connor, and Jess up here real quick? to try to make sure they stay in order. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cody. Go ahead, step up to Cody. Cody's
Hello.
A good friend of mine. I love Cody. I've known him for several years. And Cody, can you share with us a little bit, before Adult and Teen Challenge, before Adult and Teen Challenge, what did your life look like before you came to Adult and Teen Challenge and surrendered your life fully to the Lord?
I was living for myself. I was a heroin addict, and I did anything I could to feed that addiction on a daily basis.
How bad did it get for you, if you don't mind me asking?
I was homeless, in jail often. I would steal from people who loved me and cared about me in order to get high.
How did your addiction affect your relationships with your family and friends?
I come from a really tight family, really, really close, really well put together, and that extends to my aunts and my uncles, my cousins. You know, it's into my extended family, too. We're very close, very tight. They tried to do everything they could for me, but I kept making those decisions to steal from them. So I hurt them. They had no choice but to start keeping me at arm's length, and I would have to attack life on my own.
So, Cody, can you share with us how long you've been clean and sober in an Adult and Teen Challenge?
I've been clean and sober for a few months, 3 months almost.
Come on, give him a round of applause. Amen. That is awesome. I don't care if it's a guy's 1 day, 6 hours, or 3 months. That is amazing to see that, man, look what God is doing. And Cody, what are some things that God has been showing you throughout your program so far, and some of your plans for, I know it's 3 months in your program, but some of your plans and your hopes for when you complete the program?
Well, I have a tendency to kind of get down on myself, questioning whether or not that this is real, but he's showing me that it's not about what I think or feel, it's about what he says about me. His word trumps everything that I think about myself, whether I believe it or not. You know, it's an accomplished fact that he died for me, that I am dead, I am raised, I am resurrected with him. All of that, it's just my job to receive it now.
Amen.
And my plans for the future, I'm kind of rediscovering who I am, things that I knew about myself when I was younger, things that I was interested in. I'm rediscovering those things now, and I think he wants to utilize those things for me in the future, like art. I love art. I love painting. I love drawing. I love creating images. It's one of my strongest points, and I think he's going to utilize that for me. I want to get involved with my tribe again. I want to get on tribal council. I want to make an impact in both of those two areas.
Come on. Amen. Give him a round of applause. Thanks, Cody, for passing off the time. He doesn't just love art. He's really good at it. There's a difference, you know. Some people love art, but they're not. You know, he's really good at it. Connor, you just tell us a little bit about what your life looked like before Adult and Teen Challenge. First, talk to us about who you are, where you're from, and what your life looked like before Adult and Teen Challenge, and then carry us through and what God's doing in your life now.
Sounds good. So my name's Connor. Nice to meet you guys. It's good to be here. So my life before Teen Challenge, I'm from Seattle, around Seattle area. But my life before Teen Challenge, so when I was growing up, I dealt with some sexual abuse when I was 8 years old. I grew up in it with a family, my parents. My mom was cheating on my dad for a long time. It was not abnormal for me to find them like hooking up with other couples and stuff. There was a lot of anger in my household, so that was a hard thing. But when I was 13 years old, I started drinking alcohol. When I found that, it felt like I didn't have to be myself. I could be confident in who I was, and I really hated myself. That's one thing I look back. I really wanted to suppress, be somebody else, do whatever I could. The drugs just made me feel like I could, like, just live life and be okay. And when I was a little bit older, my friend, his mom was like, hey, you know, I'll give you some painkillers if you do some errands for me and stuff like that. So I was introduced to painkillers. That was, like, the worst thing because it made me feel confident, made me feel like I could live my life. It made me feel like I could be alone with myself. And that was, you know, it was a really bad thing. I remember when I was 19 years old and I was just praying to God. And I was like, God, please help me get out of this. Help me put... I can't do it on my own. I can't get away from these painkillers. And God sent me this man that my grandma and grandpa went to their church in Palm Springs. He was like, hey, you should come to my church. You should go to ministry school and live with me. So I moved with him, went to ministry school. What I realized looking back now, I was trying to study the Bible because I was really interested in being a pastor. I thought it was an amazing thing. But I was studying so that I could be a pastor. I wasn't putting it in my heart, but I was studying so that I could just get to that point. And fast forward, I became a youth pastor. And some guy told me years before I was a youth pastor, he said, man, if you're struggling with losing weight, the devil's going to put a donut shop across the street from you. And what happened was the person, my friend's mom that was giving me those, she moved across the street from the church. I ended up giving in. I lost my job as a youth pastor. And that was a really hard thing. I remember after that, after I lost that job, it got worse. I remember before I came here, I was on my motorcycle, and I didn't care if I'd die. I was doing really stupid things. I didn't care at all. But, you know, God came after me, and since I got here, this place is the perfect place to put your heart in the right spot to receive from God. And there's a lot of things that were in the way of that. But when I got here, like, there's no distractions. I was able to just focus on God. That's a huge blessing, to be able to focus on God for an entire year and just Him without any distractions. But what God showed me was that it's not about what I do, how much of the Word I know. I mean, that's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. But really where our roots grow deep in God is from Him showing His love to us. God revealed His love to me. He showed me how much He loves me, came after me. And that completely changed everything, because that made me be able to love myself. Because if God loves me, I can love myself. On top of that, if God's coming after me, His love, it just helped me let that guilt go, the shame, everything in my past. So that's been a great thing. And this week, a huge thing that God showed me that I love was Paul says that if he said if he could, he would be completely disconnected and cut off from Christ if that would just save people. And I didn't know what that meant when I first got here. I read that and I was like, that's the ultimate selflessness, but what does that really mean? And God's been beginning to show me that because of who Paul knew God was and how great He was, he would do anything that he could so that other people could know who he was. And that's an amazing thing. And right now it's just, I've been thinking a lot about that, how in Romans 12 it says that I plead with you to give your bodies to God for all that He's done for you, to let it be a living and holy sacrifice. And this is truly the way to worship Him. So, you know, if whatever God wants, I just want my body to worship Him. I want to be able to see people saved. So it's a really cool thing, because my pastor wants me back at the church. But, you know, I love that. It's an amazing thing. But, you know, whatever God wants. So
thank you. How long have you been clean and sober?
I've been clean for almost five months now.
Amen. So can we give him a round of applause?
Thank you.
Amen. Hey, Jess.
How's it going?
Jess, share with us just a little bit about your story, man. Where you come from, what's God doing in your life now, and what are some of your plans that you've been thinking about for your future?
Okay. My name is Jess Hardy. I'm 29 years old, Seattle, Washington. That's where I was born and raised. An amazing Christian family. Raised me right, set me up for success my whole life, and just built on a good foundation. And when I got into high school, I started partying, using drugs, and just got into that scene a lot. And just went with that for a couple years. I ended up stealing a bunch of cars and getting arrested for it. And then just after that, just kept going more downhill and downhill. I had a buddy die in 2009. He ran into the back of a semi and lost his head. 2010, two of my buddies were murdered in the first double homicide in Washington State that year. And from then on, I just started getting hooked on pain pills and progressed to heroin after that. Just been using drugs and that lifestyle for the last 14 years of my life. Just heroin really took over. That was everything to me. The last 6 months before I came here, I ended up getting hooked on meth as well. And that's when I really saw a decline in everything. Before I was managing, once that happened, everything went out the window. I didn't have a care in the world, just running and gunning, had that crazy life. And it's no way to live. I knew better. I threw Jesus out the window and just was not caring. Since I got here, he's worked so many miracles in my life. I look back throughout the years and can see every time he saved my life. I should not be right here standing right now. Before I got here, I was arrested in a stolen car. I had a bunch of drugs on me. I was sitting in jail, just expecting a pretty good sentence, going to prison. 2 days sitting in my cell, I was just praying to God. Someone came knocking on the door, and there's no charges filed, and I was free to go. 12 days later, came the teen challenge, and he's been answering prayers my whole life, and he's especially doing it big time right now. It's a miracle. I'm getting so much clarity in my life. I pray for my thinking and my heart to change, and he's doing it. He's doing big things in my life. I'm ready to be a husband. I'm ready to be a father. I'm making all those steps and preparing for that. And without Teen Challenge right now, it's I don't see that as being a possibility. I was just too many years of craziness. So,
thank you so much. Everybody give Justin a round of applause. Thanks, bud. Hey, Jess, is Jesus your everything now?
Absolutely.
Come on. Just to be able to hear that this one substance here used to be my everything. That's been a lot of us sometimes. Sometimes we're like, this, you fill in the blank, has been my everything. But Jesus wants to be our everything. I'm going to read a portion of scripture briefly, real quick, in Mark chapter 2. It talks about the paralytic man. And for the sake of time, let me sum this up real quick for you. So this is a paralytic man. Nobody knows how long he's been paralyzed, but he's laying on this ground. And you can only imagine with me for a second, this paralyzed man who's been sitting here, where his hope level must have been when he first was paralyzed, or however he got paralyzed. His hope level probably was about here. People would probably pray for him. Essential oil him, hoping that he gets better someday. But as time goes on, he sees his friends who are growing up, going to school, getting married, and his hope begins to dwindle. And that's where we find this portion of scripture, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed, praising God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." This is a perfect picture of four men who believed in enabling the solution by any means necessary. This epidemic of people being lame and paralyzed and ill, back in the Bible days, it was an epidemic. They had no idea how to handle it or how to deal with it. It sounds sort of like this modern day epidemic that we face right now called addiction. Many of us, we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to deal with somebody who is struggling over and over and over. All we can say is, "Why don't you stop?" We haven't put ourselves in their shoes to understand that something's got a hold on me. And I need something greater than myself that is going to sever these ties, that is going to break this off, that is going to raise me up back to life. And that one and only thing is the solution, Jesus Christ. So these four men who decided from an early point in this story that we're not going to be spectators who just sit in a comfortable seat to see what God's doing. We're going to be participators who go out and look for those so God, we can be a part of what God is doing. So there's a big difference between being a spectator and a participator. A spectator likes to see what God's doing comfortably. A participator likes to be a part of what God is doing. And so these four men decided, we're going to look for somebody. We're going to find somebody who is in need of the solution, Jesus, and we're going to get him there by any means necessary. So they're walking and they see this man and they ask him, "Hey, do you want to go see Jesus?" You can only imagine this man's hope. Because everybody knew Jesus was in town. He probably knew too. People were probably running past him to get to see Jesus. Oh, I got to get my best spot. I got to get the best spot in the house. I got to make sure I get a front row seat. Everybody's running past him. Hey, guys, where are you going? We're going to go see Jesus. We'll save you a seat. And it's like, but what about me? People who are hopeless always wonder, what about me? That's awesome that you guys are set free. That's awesome that you have family. But what about me? And see, these four men, from the moment they said yes to Jesus, were looking for people who were feeling like, what about me? And they found him and said, hey, we're going to get you to Jesus. Oh, man, this hope journey has started now. This man's ready. His hope is ramped up. Not only are they telling me about Jesus, but they're going to help me get to Jesus. So these four men decided, hey, you get a corner, you get a corner, you get a corner, I'll get a corner, and we're going to take this man to Jesus. We're going to get him to see Jesus. See, these men understood that Jesus was the solution, not them. See, sometimes we get it mixed up, and we feel like we are the solution, that we wear the capes, and we're super Christian. But the thing is it's Jesus. Jesus is going to set you free. Jesus is going to heal your family. It's Jesus. I'll never forget when I was early in the program, pastors used to say to me, I come to him, but pastor, I feel like leaving the program. He said, I say, will you pray for me? And he said, no. I said, what? That's your job. You're supposed to pray for me. He said, no, we won't pray for you. We will pray with you. See, when somebody understands that Jesus is the solution, they can carry it further because they know I'm not carrying this weight. See, addiction is a heavy weight to carry. And many of you know what I'm talking about. When you have a loved one and they just keep enabling and they keep enabling, they're like, there's no solution. I'm burnt out. I got nothing left. See, that's the story of my mom. I'm a victim of a praying mother. My mother understood that Jesus was the only solution that was going to cure my addiction. Jesus was the only thing that was going to set me free. So she was able to pray and pray and pray and pray for 10 years to see Jesus work a miracle in my life. It's because of Jesus. And see, these four men understood that you know what? Nothing's going to stand in the way from us getting this man to Jesus because Jesus is the solution. See, when you understand that and you're about enabling the solution, can't nothing stop you. Can't nothing stop you. See, look, it's not like we get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and feel like, oh, this is a great secret for us to hold on to. Everybody needs to know. Look, there's a world out there. People are like, is there something out there that's going to hold me up against the stands of time? Is there somebody that's going to be out there that's going to help me when I feel like I can't give enough or I don't have enough to give? Is there somebody out there? And the answer is yes, it's Jesus. Look, I sit in meetings on a weekly basis of people in our city saying, it's hopeless. There's nothing that we can find that works. These people are coming in cycle after cycle, 30, 60, 90-day programs, and there's nothing that can help. And we get to stand up and say, there is a solution, and his name is Jesus. So these four men. Amen. These four men carry this man to Jesus. They get to the house, and what happens? The house is full. The house is packed. See, when you believe in the solution so much, you're not going to let any excuse or obstacle or anything stand in the way. This guy needs to get to Jesus. They could have easily said, hey, at least we tried. You know, hey, maybe next week when Jesus comes back to town, we'll get you there. You know what? There's a special event going on at church today, so I don't think today's going to be the great Sunday for you to come by. But what they did was is they said, we're committed to getting you to the solution. So we're going to find a way. If we can't find a way, we will make a way. So what do? They carry this man on the roof. Can you imagine this guy's hope level? He's excited. He's feeling like these phantom legs all of a sudden. He's like, I'm going to do this when I get my legs healed. I'm going to go do that. He's like, I'm already thinking about it. They're like, cool, cool, man. That's awesome. And they get to the house. Oh, it's full. His hope level. It's worse off than it was when we started because I had some hope. You brought me up here and then you lowered me way down here because I had some hope. I thought I was going to get healed. I thought my marriage was going to get restored. But all of a sudden, it seems like you ain't got time for me. All of a sudden, it seems like that there's no hope for me. And then his hope level goes further down here. But to hear the hope in their voice that says, what are you talking about? We told you and we committed to you that we're going to get you to Jesus by any means necessary. So don't let these walls and this house full of people fool you. We're getting you there. If we got to go in throwing elbows, if we got to be like the woman with the issue of blood that had to get on her knees and crawl amongst the crowd, if we got to be like blind Bartimaeus and scream out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Whatever it takes, we're getting you to Jesus. And so they get on the roof. They start tearing this thing apart, pulling apart. Even though the naysayers are saying, you're crazy, what are you doing? It was unethical to tear apart somebody's roof. It is still unethical to tear apart somebody's roof. Just saying. Somebody came through right here right now, I think Pastor would have some words for them. But I'm just saying. But they lower this man down. He's excited. The hope is just glowing on him. He gets down there, and what does Jesus say? My child, your sins are forgiven. Amen. What? I came to get healed. Not my sins forgiven. I could have went to the priest to do that. I wanted to get healed, man. But what is Jesus about? He's about not just healing us. He's about making us whole. That's why I love Adult and Teen Challenge. Come on, get clean and sober, but let's go deeper. That's cool you got clean and sober. Let's talk about what a man of God looks like. I learned what it means to be a man in Adult and Teen Challenge. I came into this program at 23 years old. I had a daughter who was 18 months old. I'd been using methamphetamines and other drugs for 10 years. I was running from the Lord. I knew God had a call on my life. I'm a pastor's son, can you tell? And so... So when I came to the program, I learned what it means to love Jesus, what it means to be a man of God. I'm 8.5 years clean and sober. I have a wife and 4 kids, and it's all glory to Jesus. All glory to Jesus. See, Jesus wants to not just make you and your husband get along, okay? He wants to make you whole so you love each other unconditionally. Jesus doesn't want to just set your son or daughter or loved one free from addiction. He wants to make them whole. He wants to make them whole. So don't be upset when the answer that you've been praying for is something deeper and more than you thought it was supposed to be. Jesus, I just want you to do a temporary fix on my heart. I just want to have the feel goods. No, Jesus is about making you whole. And I got to tell you something. Sometimes Jesus making a person whole, it's not going to look pretty. It's not going to be easy. Guys, is the program easy?
No.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
See, it was so much worth it for this guy to hear those words. Because when he picked up his mat and he went out there, he was a changed man. I truly believe when he picked up his mat, he was carrying outside with him. It represents authority. That no longer is paralysis going to keep me down, but I'm going to carry this as my testimony. You may be going through some hard times right now, but God is going to use what you're going through as a testimony of how great of a God he is. Look, there is no such thing as a retired Christian. Amen? Come on, you're not done yet. God still got a plan for you. He still got a purpose for you. He didn't say, for I know the plans that I have for you up till you're 60. No, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. There's no limitation on that. So please hear me on this. Each and every one of us, we have a testimony to share. Maybe your testimony is not like what you heard from these guys. Maybe your testimony is simple as, look, I've never been a part of that. I've never had that happen in my life, but God kept me. That is just as great as a testimony. We are called to share our testimony. Kids, when you guys go to youth camp, share your testimony with somebody. Help somebody see that Jesus is real. Because I know I was one of those kids that went to kids camp. And yeah, I was faking the fake. I was walking the walk, but not really talking. I was talking the talk, but not really walking the walk. You hear me? And so you got to be the ones that say, look, man, you might have a hard time at home, but I can tell you that Jesus is real. Use your testimony. And I'm finishing up right here. These 4 men did something so awesome. They enabled the solution by any means necessary. And what does that mean? They used the resources they had. They didn't call out like a herd of camels to come pull this guy. They just decided right here, right now, what do you have that you can use today to enable the solution? It's like the parable of talents. God has given you something. What are you doing with what he has given you? Are you being a faithful steward with the strength? Are you being a faithful steward and showing up to kids' team? Throw a plug in there. Look, God has all given us something, and we got to use that something for his glory. So these men, 4 corners represented here today. Number one, how can I partner with Adult and Teen Challenge, Terrence? By grabbing a corner. Corner number one, you can help us get the word out. There's so many people that don't even know about Adult and Teen Challenge, or they see teens and think we're only about teenagers. Do you see any teenagers in here today? We're so much more than a thrift store. We're so much more than just for teenagers. We're Adult and Teen Challenge. We need to get the word out. We have tons of brochures at our table out there. We don't want to go home with any brochures. So please, take brochures, give them to waitresses, give them to different places. There's somebody out there who needs to know about Adult and Teen Challenge. You can also pray for us. Pray for our students. Pray for their families. Pray for our staff. Pray for the men and women that are yet to come to our doors. Also, The second one is you can volunteer. There's opportunities out there to talk about how you can volunteer. We'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that. The third corner is you can give, and Pastor will talk a little bit about that momentarily. And the fourth way is we have, sometimes, you know, if you're like me, you're a person that likes to actually walk hand in hand with somebody and see their story develop and see what God is doing. We have a student sponsorship program out there. I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that. We'll be out in the hallway after service. But it's very important for you to hear this. Jesus is in the house. And whatever you're in need of today, he's got you. He is the solution. Look, doesn't matter how much sin, shame, guilt, problems, stress you put up against the cross, it is no match for the cross. Yeah. He is the solution. And the next time you hear somebody at your workplace or at your someplace in the city saying, oh, this person's addicted and there's just no hope, you tell them there is hope. And his name is Jesus Christ. New Hope Christian Center, thank you so much for allowing us to share. It's been so much fun. We love you.
I'm going to have our music ministry team come up, if they would, please. And I think it's awesome what David Wilkerson started years and years ago and how many lives it has impacted. Because I don't know if you realize the enormity of addiction and how our culture is just steeped in it. And I don't know if you realize that our government, a federal, state, whatever, they don't do a very good job of, they talk a lot about the problem, but they don't do a whole lot about it. And the problem that when they do something about it, they leave the most crucial part out of it, and it is Jesus Christ. Because he is the only hope that we have. That's it. There's no greater hope than God's love that he has for us and the grace that he has given. Because I don't deserve it. Ain't one of us out here deserves it. And Angela, I'd like to, if you could do that song, the last one that we did. Can we do that one? I think it's perfect. It's talking about there's no mountain high enough, no valley wide enough that he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. And each and every one of us are the one. We serve a big God. And we're going to sing that song, and I would like the ushers, if you would, get ready. We're going to take up an offering for Teen Challenge. Let's bless them today. Because I've been blessed by them coming and sharing their stories. And Terrence is right. It's testify. Your testimony is different from everyone else's, but your testimony means something to somebody. Everybody has a testimony, a story to share about what God has done in their lives. Because oftentimes we get in a dark place in our lives and we go, nobody understands. Nobody understands where I'm coming from. Nobody's gone through what I've gone through. You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? He was tempted in every single way that any other man has been tempted. And he was sinless. And I'm glad he was, because I ain't. But he says, you know what? You are righteous because of my blood that was shed on the cross. It's not because of me. It's not because of my merits. It's because of what he has done and the love that he has for us. So I want to sing that song. I think we'll take up the offering right after the song is over, guys, if you would. So, Angela, go ahead. Please stand. Go ahead and be seated. I'd like to have the ushers come forward, and we'd like to take up this offering for Teen Challenge. And I have a quote that God gave me long time ago, and Angela said it recently, that the greatest gift of all is the next revelation of God's love for me. And God continues to just outdo himself. the revelation that we have is such a small speck compared to the actual love that he does have for me. I mean, as a father, I show that love to my daughters, and it pales in comparison to the love that God has for us. And don't get me wrong, I'd do anything for my girls. And God gave the ultimate sacrifice, his only begotten Son, and said, "This is how much I love you." We need to remember that. We need to remember that on a daily basis. And I'm going to ask something of you guys. We have our youth camp is starting tomorrow. There it is. There it is. I'm going to ask that you guys keep us in your prayers. When it's prayer time, say, "Hey, pray for those kids. Pray for those leaders." Because the leaders are going to come back and they're going to be tired. Real tired. But you know what? I believe that there are some divine appointments that God has set up. And the kids don't even know it yet. But it's going to happen. And God is going to show up. And he's going to do what he does. So I'm asking for your prayer as you lift them up. And I keep thinking of this. Every time I ask people to pray with me or for me, I get that picture of heaven. In Revelation, it talks about a bowl, a big bowl. And it says, in that bowl are the prayers of the saints. See, when we pray, we're invading heaven. And God says, "Bring those to me." Oh, here's one. Terrence at Team Challenge just prayed for youth camp. All right, I need angel number 55 to go to Twinlow. We got some work to do. We got some little resistant little buggers down there. Let's get them. Amen. Thank you, Team Challenge, for coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the work that is going on, for the lives that are being changed, Heavenly Father, that you help us to take to heart the story that Terrence shared about going out, getting active, and introducing people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do as disciples, is to introduce them to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work that you're doing. And I ask incredible blessings upon each and every one of them as they change lives for your glory. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Meet the guys. Come out there and talk to them and welcome. Thank you for coming.